Well, you know what book we're in. Okay? Psalm 119. Okay? We'll be in verses 153 tonight. Last week, we went through verses 145 through 152, and we talked about the pursuit of truth. And truth, the Word of God, brings confidence in prayer. The truth of God allows us to understand that God will answer our prayer. And so we see in verses 145 to 148 in review, the psalmist cried. How he prayed with his whole heart. He prayed with an expectation of an answer, and that requires faith. And then he prayed with obedience to the Word. God's not going to bless you unless we're obedient to Him. The next thing, what did he pray for? He prayed for deliverance. He also prayed for his ability to serve God. When did he pray? He prayed before dawn. He prayed during the day, and then he prayed during the night watches. What was his call? What did he plead for? He pleaded that God would hear him. Now, we know that God knows everything, but does God hear you? We need to be in right relationship with him. And then he asked for God to help him and to deliver him. Why did he plead? Because he had adversaries all around him. The purpose of the adversaries to make him trip and fall. And then the problem of the adversaries is they didn't follow God's word. And so we just need to understand there's people out there that deny the truth and work against the truth. What did he perceive? He perceived the closeness of God. When we pray, do you feel God's presence? Do you feel the closeness? Do you feel that you're connecting with him? He felt the person of God, and he also believed in the performance of God to answer his prayer. And then in verse 152, his confession. The faithfulness of God's word, and then the founding of God's word. It was before creation, and it endures forever. And it's absolute truth. So, that ends verse 152. Now in 153 through 160, tonight the 20th stanza, 153. Yeah, I put it wrong up there. Okay, it'll be fixed. Okay, is to revive us who love your word. Revive us who love your word. And the central thought is this one. To love the word is to obey it. And to obey it is to receive life from it. To love the word is to obey it, and to obey it is to receive life from it. He is praying for personal revival. Three times in this passage, we're going to see the word quicken, which means to restore the fullness of life. The letter is the letter resh, which means head. Okay? You know, we are saved from the heart, but the heart has got to control the head. We have to be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Christ is the head of the church. God is head of all things. Christ is head of all things. And so when we have a problem, we have a petition, we need to go right to the head, which is God. You don't pray through people. You don't pray through saints. You can pray for one another. Man, we can make intercessory prayer, but we pray directly to God because we are priest in position. So in our passage tonight, in verse 153, it says, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So he wants God to consider him. He wants God to consider his plight. When God looks down at you, who does he see? Does he see someone that's following him? Or does he see someone who just wants things for himself and not for God's glory? So tonight is talking about revive us. And there's three parts of this. The first one is found in verses 153 through 154. Revive me because of my circumstances. This has been a tough last couple of years, hasn't it? There's been all sorts of adversities and all sorts of problems. People have had health problems. We've had COVID. Some may have financial problems. There are spiritual problems out in the world. So we see here several things in these two verses. First of all, his reason for revival. His reason for revival is in 153. He says, consider what? Mine affliction. Now, the affliction that affects me can also affect you. And folks, what we need to understand is that it is our affliction. I can't solve your problems and you can't solve mine, but God can solve all of ours. And so we need to understand here that over and over again, he has been asking for deliverance from his affliction. And the same thought comes on here. Now, verse 153, he has two requests. He has two requests. The first request is to consider, which really means that God needs to regard what we're doing. He knows what we're in. He knows the problem. He knew all the problems that Job was going through. He knew all the problems that David's going through. He knows all the problems that you're going through. But the issue is how is your perspective on the problem? Is your perspective, well, I want to take care of it my way, I want to take care of it the world's way, or I want to take care of it God's way? If you're going to take care of it God's way, then it have to be in the Word. In Psalm 106, verse 44, it says, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their what? Cry. God is waiting for us to call on him so he can act. A lot of people will basically suck sour grapes and never call on God. And if you never ask, you'll never receive. And so that's the issue here. So the one thing is he's praying to God. And he says, consider mine affliction. I've got a problem here that only you can solve. That only you can solve. The second request is for deliverance. Basically, get me out of this, okay? Help me to escape out of this. And so what he wants is he just wants to be delivered. And we see this same word over and over again in here. In verse 50, in Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. And what's the next word? I will deliver thee, and thou shalt what? Glorify me. Because who does the deliverance? God does. And so, revive me because of my circumstances. You know, if everything was easy, we would not call on God. But it's the trials of faith that increases our faith. It's the trials on faith that ask us to get close, that forces us to get close to God. He bases this all on his relationship. He says, for I do not what? Forget thy law. So the biggest thing that the psalmist wanted here, he wanted a close relationship with God. We used this verse last week, but it applies here right now. In John 15, verse 7, it says this, if ye abide in me, and my what? Words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So we see in this first verse, we see his reason. His affliction. Is any of you afflicted? What does James say? Let him pray. Let him pray. There's nothing changed. Old Testament, New Testament. Same God. Same problems. Same solution. Same solution. His request is for God to look on his state. And to deliver him out of this. Okay? And then his relationship that he has. He says, I'm not going to forget your law. You know, forget telling your spouse that you love her and you won't have a relationship for long. Okay? So forget your past mistakes and you'll what? Repeat them. Now, in verse 154, we see the requirement. He says, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. So what he wants is he wants to plead my cause. This means that God is our advocate. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, we have an advocate with the Father, who is Jesus Christ. Okay? And so this is a pleading in a legal sense. So plead my what? My cause. Now the issue is, when you go and you go to court, do you have a case? Do you have a case? Folks, do our lives, our Christian lives, show that we have a case for God's deliverance? I.e., are we following Him? Are we reading His Word? Are we faithful to Him? Are we on the other side? Because no one's going to plead your case unless you mean business. And so he says, I want to plead my case. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 23, it says, for the Lord will what? Plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. So this issue for pleading my cause is for God to take up the effort. Okay? It's for God to take up the effort. And do what? And deliver me. We need to keep the main point. Don't get sidetracked when you're talking to God. What was important yesterday should still be important today. The revival then. He says, quicken me according to thy word. Now this word for quicken and all this stanza here all means the same thing. It means to give me fullness of life. Okay? Life abundantly. It's what Christ said He's going to do. In Psalm chapter, so we need the revival. In Psalm 80 verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. The word for quicken also means to turn us again. It's revival. It's revival. So we see here, his first need for revival is revive me because I'm in trouble. How many's in trouble right now? We are, in some extent. There's something that we want God to do, okay? And we bring this to God, and that should cause us to get closer to Him. The second thing is found in verses 155 through 158. And revive me because of my enemies. How many of us, we pray for the Lord to show Himself strong? What do we want God to do? We want God to glorify Himself through our circumstances and prove our faith is real. And prove that all the adversaries and everybody else are wrong. And Psalm 25, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be what? Ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. See, we want God to show Himself strong to prove to our enemies and our adversaries that God is real. We want God to intervene. And, you know, David, a long time when he's being chased, he says, see, they go, aha, aha. Okay? Don't want any of that. Don't want any of that. Okay? He says, revive me because of my enemies. And the first point is found in verse 155. Because they don't care about their about salvation. It says here, salvation is what? Far from the wicked. For they seek not thy statutes. They don't want to be near God. They want to be as far away from God as possible. And there's people. It seems like that's the way the world wants to be today. It's nothing new. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, it says, even as they did not like to what? Retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? Reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Don't think the wicked can do good. Don't look for deliverance from a wicked source. It's not going to happen for the Christian. In fact, what we want is transgressors to be shown their ways to show that they need God. Okay? So the issue is, they don't care about salvation. Salvation is far from the wicked, but it's close for us. Deliverance is far from the wicked, but it's close to us. Truth is far from the wicked, but its truth is close to us. Grace is far from the wicked, but it's close to us. God's power is far from the wicked, but it's close to us. Make sense? Okay? For they seek not thy statutes. You know, everything about God that we know of is here. It's in His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was not a God, but is God. The same was in the beginning with God. So He says here, revive me so my enemies that don't care about salvation, that don't care about God, can see your deliverance. That's where we are today, aren't we? That's where we are today. Secondly, in verse 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Revive me because my enemies don't care about salvation. They don't care about your truth. And they need to see what you can do, God. Okay, so what does it say? Great are thy what? Tender mercies. Mercy is a characteristic of God. He is full of mercy. He is the God of what? All mercy. He says, great. It far exceeds whatever you thought possible. So the first thing is, they need to see God's mercy on those who cry out to Him who are His. In Psalm 86, verse 13, the same words are used here. For great is thy mercy toward who? Me. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. That's a long way, folks. That's even deeper than our well. Okay? So, He says, revive me because of my circumstances. Revive me because there's a lot of people out there that don't want me revived. That want me to fail. That want me to give up. That want me to reject God. That want me to speak against Him. There's a whole lot of people that want that. He says, you need to show them that salvation is yours. You need to show them that you do have mercy. And then here, in the last part of this, He says, O Lord, and here's the second one, or quicken me, according to thy what? Judgments. Not by any works of righteousness that we have done, but by His tender mercy, He's redeemed us. He's redeemed us. So, it's the same thought as in Psalm 143, verse 11. Quicken me. Restore me. Make me lively again. Fill me with your life, God. Fill me with your spirit. Quicken me, O Lord, for why what? Namesake. Everything we do, we should do to glorify God. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all to the what? Glory of God. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble for those people who aren't righteous that need to see your righteousness, that see to know that you're real. And people say, well, God's dead. No, he's not. He's alive. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. Okay? So revive me because of my enemies. They don't care about your salvation, but they need to see it in me. They don't care about who you are, but they need to see your mercies on me. They need to see your life in me. They need to see your power in me. And then the third part is, they need to see that what I believe in, what the psalmists believe in, what we believe in is not worthless. Who need to see that my faith is not in vain. In verse 156, in 157, many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. You know what Satan wants to do to you? He wants to wear you down. You know what his agents want to do? They want to wear you down. So why? So you say, I give up. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And so the psalmist is saying, look, he says, I know who you are. They don't care right now, but that's their problem. I want you to deal with my problem, God, so they can see that you help my problem, and they can help theirs if they want it. They can help theirs if they want it. So many are my persecutors, my enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. We've already seen in Psalm 119, verse 51, it says, the proud have me what? Greatly in derision. Derision is, I'm conflicted. I'm having a hard time pushing through this. Proud have had me greatly endured, yet have I not what? Declined from thy law. So he's talking about here in verse 153, he says, I do not what? Forget thy law. Okay. And then he's saying here, he says, all this bad stuff is happening. All these adversaries are coming in my life. He says, but I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to turn my back on you, God. In Psalm 26, verse 4, he says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with what? Dissemblers. You know, in Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about the people that aren't wise, and they're the foolish, and they're the wicked. They try to encourage you to go with them and spill innocent blood and do all those other things. Cast in thy lot with this. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4. Don't think it's strange. You don't run with them anymore. You don't run with them anymore. Don't give up. Don't give in. So revive me because of my enemies. They need to see that you are real. They need to see what you can really do. And then they need to see that the faith that I have in you is not worthless. It's not in vain. Lastly, in verse 158, he says this. He says, I beheld the transgressors, and they were grieved because they kept not that word. A better translation is this: I beheld the treacherous ones, the ones that all their thoughts are what? Evil continually. And this issue about grieving is not being grieved in a sense of repent, praying for them. It's being in a sense of loathing. I absolutely hate it. I hate what I see out there. Folks, you turn on the news, do you like what you see? You go in a store, you like what you see? Okay? See, Paul said, I want sin to become what? Exceedingly sinful. That I wouldn't even consider this. So, there's people that need to see God's righteous judgment. And God is tarrying. God is long-suffering. He doesn't willing any perish. But let me give you three verses here. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Because they don't see the power of God working in God's people. And God's people aren't asking for the power of God. And so that emboldens people to go do their own thing. That emboldens people to think that there is no God. That emboldens people to say it's not worth it. That emboldens more and more and more and more and more people to be against you. These people need righteous judgment. And David is saying, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of seeing all this. I want to make a stand here. God help me to make this stand. The second verse, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord. Now, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, okay? The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. And hate pride. And hate arrogancy. Over and over we've seen that David's adversaries here have been arrogant. The word wicked could be called arrogant. And the what? Evil way. And the froward mouth, one that says one thing but means another. Okay? Do I what? Hate. He loathes these people. He loathes these adversaries. He loathes these transgressors. They're treacherous. You know? You can't play around with a snake or you're going to get what? Bit. You don't take a dog by the ears or you'll get bit. Hey, there's a proverb about that. You just didn't do that. David's saying, I'm tired of this. God, revive me so people can see your righteous judgment. Revive me so people can see salvation through you. Revive me so people can see their character. Now, who does judgment belong to? God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Seeing it is a what? Righteous thing with who? God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Okay? I beheld the transgressors and I had enough because they don't care. But just because they don't care means you don't care. We do care. And as much as they don't care, we should care even more for God. We need His deliverance. So revive me because of mine enemies. Thirdly, verses 159 through 160. Revive me because I love your word. You know, when Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? He says, thy word is truth. Not my will, but your will be done. I want to get out of this mess, but whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And that was Christ in the garden. Everybody had turned his back on him, including his own disciples. They all ran out of the Garden of Gethsemane. And Christ was standing alone. Sometimes, have we had problems where we just feel like we're just standing alone? And we're the only ones there? God's there. God's there. So in verse 159, he says, give me an opportunity to live out your word. Okay? He says, consider how I love thy precepts. So he's asked the Lord now twice. He says, consider my affliction and help me. You know what's going on in my life. And then he says, consider how I love thy precepts. You know, Paul said, my conscience is clear of the blood of all men. How can people say that? Because they're living the word. Because they're walking close with God. Can we say that? Can we say that, what the psalmist is saying here? Consider how I love thy precepts. O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. You know, there's a great illustration in Isaiah over this. Hezekiah is the king. He has been stricken with a malady. Okay? Some people say it was hemorrhoids. Okay? I don't think that's a malady enough. But the issue is, he was stricken. Isaiah's come in and said, set your house in order. Because you're going to do what? You're going to die. So Hezekiah goes into his room, goes into his bed, looks at the wall and starts praying. In Isaiah chapter 38, verses 18 through 20, part of his prayer is this. He says, for the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Doesn't that sound kind of like, consider how I love thy precepts? Okay? And quicken me. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy what? Truth. Second time is used here. It's already said it once. The Lord was what? Ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. So the thought here in 159 is the same thought. He says, if I'm always in this problem, and I'm always surrounded by enemies, I don't have the ability to praise you like I can if you deliver me from this. So what should we always be asking for? Not deliverance from getting out of a trouble, but deliverance so we could serve you more. Amen. Deliverance for fullness of life. Deliverance for all those things. Give me an opportunity to live out your word. Quicken me, same word, fullness of life, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Not what I want, but what you want. So revive me because I love your word. And if I'm stuck in these problems, I can't tell it. I can't show it. I'm constrained. Okay? I'm constrained. In verse 160, make your word everlasting truth in me. Now, thy word is true from the beginning. It could also be translated the sum. Thy truth is the sum of all things. Okay? Is the sum of all things. So, thy word is truth from the... Remember, it's the word of God that made creation. It's the word of God that recreated us. It was the word of God that raised Lazarus. It was the word of God that healed the centurion's servant. It was the word of God that raised Jairus' daughter. Yes. It was the word of God that what? Brings life. Amen. Says, so make your word everlasting truth. Thy word is true from the beginning, and everyone that of thy righteous judgments, what? Endureth forever. In Psalm 139, verse 17, the psalmist says, he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the what? Sum of them. You know, we could start studying God's truth, and every day we'll find more. It's beyond searching out. His love has no bounds. All those things are there. He says, make your word everlasting to me. There's a story or an account on Billy Graham. And it goes like this. Billy Graham was getting ready for the Los Angeles crusade that kind of started everything for him. But before he went to that crusade, he basically was concerned about real biblical authority. He couldn't see it. And he basically said this. He says, he just surrendered to it. And he says, I give up trying to figure this out. I am just going to accept your truth. I'm going to do what you say. And I'm going to get me out of it. And whatever happens, happens. And then he had the Los Angeles Crusade. It's easy to doubt God's truth. It's easy to doubt his word, but we can't afford to do so. We can't afford to do so because God's word is life. God's word is life. I'll close with this verse. In John 6, verse 63, not 53, but John 6, 63, it says, Christ said, and this was the issue. The issue is, who do people say that I am? Okay? And is the Spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit, and they are life. Folks, we need to get a genuine love for God's word. It is God's word that quickens. It is God's word that sustains us. It is God's word that revives us. Revive us again. We need that. Oh, wilt thou not revive us again? Revive me because of my circumstances. Revive me to show others that don't believe in you that you're real. Revive me because I love your word. What about it tonight? Do we need revival? We've been praying for it. Let's have it start. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, send revival. Help us, Lord, just to forsake ourselves, Lord, and to surrender to your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.